From the Nine Network, Denny Widler. Denny, very good morning to you.
Morning, gents. Pup, what about your Tigers? Are they still making news?
Say, go again, buddy.
Your Tigers are still making news.
Oh, mate. Seriously, Abby, please, what are you thinking? Well, at that stage, silly question, he wasn't thinking.
I don't, look, you know what? It's not the smartest thing he could have done.
Yeah,
but
it's not the worst either.
Honestly, yeah, in the light of when it was said,
yeah, I agree.
Where it was said.
Oh, he's forgiven in 1 minute. He runs out onto the field with
look,
the Tigers.
He'd be saying that in a dressing chat with, yeah, with the boys. Yeah. Yes, he shouldn't have said it publicly, but there'd be a lot of other Tigers players
thinking it.
Probably said it on the drink to their mates as well.
Yeah.
Like, and they'd say it, you know, mucking around and trying to get a bit of a laugh and all that. I understand.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, that's what he was trying to do. But if he had his time over again in front of a lot of people, he
it's
probably
a lot worse
have
done after winning the grand final. I would have thought so. Yeah.
And also, I mean, like even like I watched all of that happen yesterday, and I saw. I mean, even the Fisher, like, James Fisher Harris doesn't say boo ever. Mm. Like I've tried to get him to say something in an interview for the last 4 years.
He scares me, that bloke.
Yeah, oh, mate, he's
seriously scary.
He is scary. And he doesn't say much. He keeps his thoughts to himself. But the players always say when he says something, they really listen. And, you know, they probably are. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to other Penrith teams, but I think they have claimed to being the greatest ever Penrith side.
But, Denny, isn't that one of those things that, you know what, that's for others to... You know, to say judge. you don't say it yourself because you do have enough respect for the people that have come before you, and you know the other great teams. Like to me, you think of someone like Greg Alexander, for example. Like you just, you just slapping him in the face. Like he's been a legend of that club, and there's been so many of them. But I just think you walk around and say, "I'm a good dad." No, mate, that's not for you to say you're a good dad. Other people say you're a good dad. Do you know what I mean? No, you just don't say that.
I think Greg Alexander agrees.
No, I don't what else doubt that. Say? But Greg, that's my point. That's quarter a respected gentleman who has been a great player. He's never going to spruik his own tires. You know what I mean? You just don't do that.
But on their just on their pure track record in terms of a Penrith side, what is it? Three straight grand finals.
Yeah, oh, it's been amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're a brilliant team.
Two wins.
Yeah.
And awesome. In the semi-final series, they beat everyone by 10+.
Yeah.
They really should have won that grand final by more than they did. And they've just won everything in terms of, you know, the entire club as well, all through the grades. Mm. I can't remember that happening.
Yeah.
At least not for a long time. And when you look at what they've done over the last 3 years, I think their performances over the last 3 years even put them above the Roosters back to back. And I think that you have to go back to that great Parramatta side. And even like Melbourne didn't go back to back, did they, Loz? They haven't done that. So, you know, I think that they have a claim to being the team of the modern era. The club of the modern era. I mean, like, back-to-back grand finals, three grand finals. And I know they're losing Tiger Appy and they're losing Villy, but they're not going to get much worse. Parramatta, who are the second-place team, probably are going to struggle to reach the standards they did without Reid Marnie and Papali'i, unless they sign someone. And you look at where is the next challenge going to come from to that team? Is it someone like, can the Cowboys really grow from this year? Can the Roosters live up to the potential they have? You know, you don't know. Like, Souths just keep on getting close without being able to convert. I don't know how they're going to improve a lot more, but they probably, you know, they're a team you have to look at. But you wonder who is actually going to challenge Penrith. And I don't know. I think they've got a claim to being the dominant team of the modern era. Three grand finals, two wins in a row, absolute dominance through the premiership season. You know, they're a team. They've got some brilliant individuals, I get it. But They're a great team. They play like a machine. They know what they're doing. And they're going to take some real beating next year. I know it's a long way away, but gee, you've got to respect that club. And I know people, I've heard the criticism that they're arrogant and all this sort of stuff. Having dealt with the individuals in that team for the last 3 years, I would not call them arrogant. Mm. I would not say they're an arrogant bunch of guys. I mean, I would have to say Jerome Luai, he made a mistake with that post he put out. But that's how I feel about it. I don't know if everyone else would agree with that. But he is one of the most respectful, engaging individuals in sport that I've dealt with. He's a, he's a Mount Druitt boy. He's done it tough growing up, and the person that he's becoming, I think he deserves credit for that. He made a mistake with that post. I get that, but Brian Todd couldn't meet a nicer bloke. You go through that squad. Nathan has made some mistakes off the field, but when you speak to him, he's a humble individual. I just think that they do get a bad rap, and I think times are changing. I think we can't be stuck in the 70s and the 80s with our views and realise that, the kids of today are different. I'm interviewing blokes, 30 years younger than me. But you've got to move with the times and realise that they've got different ways of approaching life.
Yeah.
They aren't always right, but their ways of approaching life are different to, Laurie, what you and I grew up with.
Oh, most definitely, Denny. And some people don't like it. Other people will accept it.
Well, even the footage, it's very American, right? You watch the NBA and the guy, like the guys who got the goggles on for the champagne spray. It looks very American. Yeah, I agree, Denny.
But I'm still trying to get my head around the Jerome Luai post.
Yeah.
For me, and how that is a term of endearment.
Well, you know what? I can't really enter into that area.
Yeah.
But I know that, I mean, you follow American sport.
Mm. Yep.
American culture. Mm. I think that if you follow that, you've seen that term used in an endearing way. But
I don't see it like that.
But I mean, I'm just know that that's. I don't think he meant harm by it, but it came across in a way that a lot of people can't accept. Mm. And I get that.
Yeah.
However, him sitting there with a cigar in his mouth and, pardon me, sunglasses on, and wearing a hat, whatever he was doing, that's today's athlete.
Yeah. I get that. I think that's. Part of the show too. I think that's what makes them.
Even you look at
as showmen,
how they turn up to the game. Gone are the a lot of teams turn up in their club tracksuit. Penrith are turning up in, mate. They got the suit on. Yeah. They've got all the cool gear. Yeah. It's just they've been. It comes across very American, but they've been doing it for the last couple of years. Yeah, that's their vibe.
I've had a lot to do with these guys, like in Origin. I love the music they walk around with on their shoulder and like the boombox, whatever you want to call it. Mm. I was in that dressing room was Sunday night from the moment they got there, and I watched every part of their celebration, and they were just loving life.
Yeah.
I wrote about in my column on Sunday that they had a secret mission to do with winning against the odds, and obviously that's now all come out, the Top Gun stuff. They were in their aviators. They had their call signs. They've got for each other. Nathan Cleary, the Iceman. And, I say the Octopus and whatever else. Dylan Edwards was Casper. But I mean, they had their own little pact with each other about keeping that all secret. And it was some sort of a guidance or a motivation for them through the finals. That they knew that they were in a dogfight. With everybody against them, and they deserve to celebrate. So one or two things, yes, out of line, but I was in that dressing room, and You know, they were respectful to one another. They were, you know, if you went up and asked them for a chat, they were more than happy to talk. They were just a very, they're an accommodating bunch of guys. And I know from the outside, it's easy to kick them, and it's easy to, you know, have an old school approach towards, you know, the clothes they wear or the music they listen to or the sunglasses they've got on or whatever. But you've got to move with the times. I mean, you can't be stuck in another generation, and you've got to realise that not everybody's the same, and you've got to accept people for, you know, this is what they know. This is they're probably mimicking the sports stars they admire, and that's the way that they want to be perceived. And, you know, as long as they're respectful to the community and society in general, which I think largely, you know, in the last few years they have been, you know, since they've really become a premiership force, I think they've done a lot of work on their club. They've had some dark times in the background, but they've come through a lot of that. And I think that, you know, as you know, they could go three in a row. That's how good they are.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful, wonderful group of players. Yep. I mean, when you look at what they've been able to achieve over the last 3 years, it's been pretty special, and they go into next year as favourites. Now, you spoke about being stuck in a generation. Parramatta, 36 years. It'll be 37 next year. Where are they at? You think they can compete next season?
Oh, Laurie, I think they'll compete. I think that Brad Arthur, first of all, I've talked quite positively about Penrith there in terms of the people at that club. I've got to say, in the lead up to the grand final, Parramatta were amazing. They embraced it. They took it in. The way they, as you know, I'm not particularly close to a lot of the people at Parramatta. I don't know them that well, but the way they took the media in, made themselves available again, was unbelievable. Brad Arthur was fantastic. He got it. He understood the week that was. On the night, they just weren't in the hunt. They just, you know, after the first 10 minutes, Penrith were just dominating, as you would be well aware. Can they move forward from here into a premiership side? I'm not sure. I think they've done well to get there. I think Reid Marnie's a huge loss. I know Josh Hodgson's coming in, but he's had a couple of bad knee injuries and had to have reconstructions and all that sort of thing. And he's also, you know, he's in his mid-30s now. So that's going to be how well he adapts is going to be really important for them. And also, I guess, the issue of re-signing Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown is going to be an issue for the club as well, because it's not ideal that they're both able to negotiate with clubs in about a month. And that's going to be, you know, unless they can get that wrapped up quickly, that's going to be an issue for a lot of clubs. And I think that, you know, if I'm a club looking to rebuild or to, you know, find a strike weapon, I'm a Dylan Brown fan. I know he didn't have the greatest final series, but I think that he's a player who has the ability to be something, and he's got that X factor about him. I wouldn't be surprised if clubs really have a big crack at Dylan Brown. I know that he's very close to Brad Arthur and his family. I spoke to Jake Arthur about him, and he said that, you know, Brad treats him like another son, Dylan. That's how close he is to the Arthurs. And that may, you'd hope, if as a Parramatta fan, that's going to stand them in some sort of reasonable position to re-sign him. But I think he's one that a lot of clubs will look at. I know Mitchell Moses is an obvious target as well. You know, I think Dylan Brown is the one, though. He's the one who, if I was a rival club, I'd be trying to sign. If I was Parramatta, I'd be desperate to re-sign him. So, yeah, I think they're going to have some issues. If they made the grand final again next year, they'd be doing really well, I reckon.
Okay, on to the Kangaroos squad, Danny. And what did you make of the squad that was selected, the 24, to head to the UK?
Well, I don't think we're necessarily going to be the favourites, are we? I know that the betting markets have us that way.
Yeah, we're very short.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I think that New Zealand's got a very good squad. And I think our squad's obviously chock full of stars. But I don't think we're anywhere near the dominant force that we have been previously. I think you still expect Australia to win, but I don't think you'd be surprised if they get rolled by New Zealand.
Now, all these other nations have got stronger squads than they've ever had before. I believe, Denny. And I think you're right with New Zealand. They look as strong as they've ever been.
And Madge has been, you know, doing a lot of groundwork for that side. He's been, you know, since the Tigers decided to punt him, he's been pretty much concentrating on that full time. I think they're going to be a definite force, and I think they could roll Australia. I was interested, Laurie, in the way you guys brushed Daly Cherry Evans from the leadership.
The reason for that was that James Tedesco has been the standout leader in our minds, and he's led New South Wales.
I get that
superbly. Yeah,
I get that. What about vice captains?
Well, a bit like Nathan. Mm. You know, Nathan could put his hand up and say, "Well, you know, he deserved to be vice captain." Led Penrith to a premiership, another premiership. Mm. But we thought, as a leadership group, these were the three players that will help make decisions while on tour. They're very well respected, and they're guys that I think, you know, have led their team incredibly well this year and will work really well with James Tedesco. So I think that was the reason behind having these guys as the leader. Speaking with Mal all the way through this process with Daly Cherry Evans, he wants to give both players an opportunity.
Yeah. That's the sole
in terms
answer
of him and him and
there's no guarantee Cherry Evans.
He's not guaranteed a position
to start.
And
you want your captain to be
captain
a given,
and your leaders to be.
No,
in the
I
reckon that's what
that
it tells me.
James Tedesco had to be captain. I'm just curious about, like, you know, Cherry led Queensland to beat New South Wales.
Hmm. Yeah, he did. He did.
Does that count for something or not?
Yeah, it does. But we think a better leader at this stage is James Tedesco, and we couldn't guarantee that Daly will be in that starting. Starting 13. So, yeah, I mean, if you name it,
do you pick a vice captain or you pick a leadership group?
So, the two vice captains will be Cam Murray and Isaiah Yeo. But that'll be the leadership group when they get to England.
Well, I find that fascinating that the Queensland captain doesn't get into your leadership group.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think everyone's got a different and strong opinion on it. Mal might include other people's in a leadership group when he gets overseas, but in my discussions with Mal and Lockie, we decided that those three were the best fit to be the leaders on this particular
team. Geez, you must be influential, Oz, because, I mean, they're two Queenslanders, and you've just said, rightio, give us the Blues as leaders.
Must
have some sway.
I'll tell you what we do. We do have some good, robust and honest conversations, Denny. There you go.
Did Peter Volandis pick the team or not?
No, Pete was in the room, the chair. But we, as a group, we came up with these 24 players. We came up with the leaders who we thought were the best people for the gig. And again, you know, like when you go through it, like you're sitting here talking about we haven't spoken about it, we will, but Dylan Edwards missing out. I mean, that's a tough call.
Mm.
That's a tough call for Dylan Edwards. But when you look at the makeup of the squad and the fact that we've got other players there that can be play in different positions and we think a bit more versatile than Dylan, unfortunately he had to miss out. But what do? You can't pick more than 24. We would have loved to have found a position for him. I think everyone has fallen in love with him and what he's been able to do with Penrith consistently week in, week out for the last couple of years. But, you know, they're tough decisions that have to be made.
Pup, you're going to have to intervene when Cookie's next on the show because Lozzie left him out too.
Yeah, be disappointed, Cookie. You made it clear we would have loved to have been a part of this World Cup squad. And I love him. There's no doubt about it. But you look at the guys that are in front of him. Tough selection. So tough. But I reckon Coruscant could feel disappointed as well. Oh, yeah. But how do you fit four into two? That's the problem. Yeah. You know what? More importantly, it's probably a great sign of the number nines we've got playing at the moment in the NRL.
Look, I generally do think it's going to be the best World Cup for a while, isn't it? I mean, international football has just usually been about, you know, how far Australia wins by. But, you know, Australia's coming off a loss last time round. And, you know, I think that it's a genuine competition this time. And I think that it's actually going to be exciting for, I mean, obviously, the finals will be exciting. The rest of it, Australia will walk their way through it. But, you know, it's a challenge for the team, and it's a big challenge for Mal Meninga too. I mean, you know, he needs to win this. There's some pressure on him, obviously, going over there. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
A lot of these players have not been overseas on a long tour with Australia before. And in particular, I don't know there's too many that have gone to England. I think there's only a couple. So that's a big challenge in itself. You've got to spend 7 weeks away in a different environment, different country when you haven't been used to it. And then you've got the dynamics of players being in and out of the squad as well. And, you know, some of them are going to miss out, and how they handle missing out on the squad is another factor as well. That Australia have to sort of deal with. But, yeah, I think you're right, Danny, and everything that you said in regards to it's an open competition. It's an open competition more so than we've seen in the past.
I'm excited.
Danny, thank you so much as always.
Thanks, guys.